Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most cowardly podcast network.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys Small Screen Scares, a mini-series where three cowardly friends discuss horror television. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watch The Haunting of Hill House, Episode 9, Screaming Mimes.
Almost there, boys.
What a fucked name.
It's one of those things where it's like in a horror film when a kid has an imaginary friend who you know is bad. And so the idea that something that sounds childlike and fun just has this like sinister undertone and is 1,000 times worse.
Yeah.
Like if it was called Death Dreams, you'd be like, oh yeah, but Screaming Mimi.
That's like everything that character says though. Fucked. What's her name again? I can't.
Poppy Hill.
Poppy Hill. That's right. Everything she says is just a bit fucked.
A bit wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this the first time you? Yeah. This is the first time you meet her properly, isn't it?
I think so. We've probably seen her before. We've
definitely seen it.
We've seen her.
I think in the last episode with Luke.
Yeah. She's the one who comes up behind and grabs him. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that grab is no good.
No.
It's not like gotcha. It's like hand over the mouth, hand on his head.
Yeah.
Like, he's done.
It's like a full wraparound. The only note I made for this episode is young Hugh did a tremendous job not shitting his pants in that scene where he goes to get Stephen.
Yep.
All the other kids are out in the car, but it's just like he turns around and most of the ghosts are behind him.
Yes.
And it's like a doom sound, and then he runs the other way, and then up the stairs comes the fucking tall floating man.
Yeah.
He's the worst. Oh, he's not the worst one. Bent-neck lady is.
Yeah.
But that, something about him's fucked.
Yeah. So, but at that point, though, you learn that the bent-neck lady isn't evil.
No.
It's Nell. So anytime you would see her again, you're like, oh, she's okay.
Yeah.
That guy is... Well, he's a criminal.
Yeah.
He was a bootlegger and he's Poppy's husband, isn't he?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, because there's a line about her husband being there. He was short and then he got tall.
Yeah,
okay. And it's like now he's a giant.
Now he's too tall.
Now he's too tall.
Yeah.
It's when she's talking to, when she meets Olivia in Olivia's version of the Red Room, which is that little reading room.
Yeah.
And she comes in and talks to her and Olivia just assumes she's dreaming because she has these weird visions that we alluded to. And yeah, she has that conversation where she tells a story about how her kids died, how she killed her kids, how one of them was in a wheelchair, one of them wouldn't stop breathing. And
how she kept them safe.
She kept them safe. And you've already heard Mrs. Dudley and Mr. Dudley talk about how Poppy was insane. Was just criminally insane.
Yeah.
And met the husband in an asylum.
Do you think she's the most dangerous ghost in this house?
Oh, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
But I think it's a case of, like, I see it as, like, she's actually harm. Like, the ghosts are all actually harmless to a degree. The issue is they're just all the house. It's all the house.
Okay, yeah. I mean, Poppy's the most dangerous. Poppy's like Olivia, but way more fucked because she's been there longer, presumably.
Right, but is Olivia like Olivia because of Poppy's influence?
Yeah.
And the house.
But then is it even Poppy or is it just the house?
I think it's the house and Poppy and all of it. Because you get that great bit in this episode where it shows you the night they leave from Olivia's perspective.
Right.
When you have that beat where she tries the door slowly because Poppy's like, he's keeping them from you. They're inside there. Because I also get the idea that Poppy can't actually do anything to the kids.
Right.
Mm. That's what I...
She needs to influence Olivia.
Yeah, she needs to influence Olivia or the house is using Poppy to influence Olivia.
Right.
Whether it's one of those things where there's like multiple versions of the ghosts, there's like the ghosts and then there's like the house making the ghosts that are evil.
Yeah.
It's up in the air.
Well, my read on this must be wrong then, but I thought the old woman in the bed is old Poppy.
Or isn't it? No, I thought it's her daughter.
Yeah.
The woman that Mrs. Dudley cared for.
So right. When Poppy's trying to get Olivia to open the door, and then the old woman says she lies.
She lies. They
for some reason, I thought that was old Poppy.
Nah, I don't think Poppy lives to old age.
Okay.
Is my read of it. She dies. Basically, when you die, that's what you look like.
That's what, yeah.
So she died at that age. Mm-hmm. So she's stuck that age. And that old woman is the woman that Mrs. Dudley cared for.
But I don't know if that age thing checks out, though, because in the next episode, you get Mrs. Dudley, who dies as an old woman but is her young self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got something. When we get to that episode, okay. I want to talk about that,
actually. Sure. Okay. Well, on this episode is probably, if we had to say Olivia had an episode, I would say it's this.
Yeah, this is her episode. Yeah. It is. This is her episode.
Yeah. As well as it also functions as, because it's her episode, we really finally get that last piece of the puzzle of what happened that night.
Yeah. And even everything, all the moments of her being a little bit odd in some of the other kids' stories.
Yes, yeah.
That when Stephen gives her the thing, she just punches it and you don't know why. And now you learn that she's being plagued by visions. The house is showing her of her two children dead.
Yeah, yeah.
And horrifically, the versions of their deaths are the versions of them when Olivia, like, that version of Nell is just the version of Nell that's in the funeral home.
Right.
So it's like, it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. The house is like, these kids are going to die. It's going to be your fault, but these kids are going to die.
Yep. Yeah.
And they look like this when they die because you killed them.
Yeah.
It's kind of this.
It's haunting because it's like awful. They're adults in her visions, but you expect that she still knows they're her children.
Well, yeah, she recognizes them because she has that dream where she walks into the morgue. Nell's there, and Luke's there too.
Yeah,
and she doesn't. Luke's on the floor, but she goes to Nell first, and she's like, she seems to have like a moment of recognition, and it's then when she spots Luke on the floor that she realizes these are my children.
Right. Yes,
and it's just that bit where she's unpicking the wire on her teeth, and she's so like, "Mummy, awful. Oh, it's fucking, it's horrific.
It's horrific, but it also functions well because obviously then when she goes to protect them by giving them rat poison, there's enough there for you to go, well, yeah, that was so horrific. She wants to save them from that. Like, obviously, it's madness and Poppy's gotten into her head, but you can put the pieces together to figure out what the jigsaw puzzle she's looking at looks like.
Oh, for sure. You never look at Olivia's actions and, like, scream at the screen, what the fuck are you doing?
Right.
Like, I completely get it from your point of view.
Yeah.
You're just being twisted by the house.
Yes. Yes. And she assumes that they're asleep. That whole thing of, like, if they're having the worst nightmare, wouldn't you want to wake them up?
Yeah.
She's like, I would.
Everyone else is the villain to her because they're trying to kill her kids.
Right.
Only she can save them.
She's trying to wake them up from the horrible dream.
What's that fucking brilliant line that it's either Poppy or Olivia says about how when you let your kids go out in the world, there are teeth. The world is full of teeth.
The world's full of teeth.
It just bites, like, takes pieces of your children.
Yeah.
And again, it's like she's saying this, like, because that's what the world's doing. That's the house. The house is teeth.
Yes.
The house is a mouth. The house is a stomach. It is feeding on these children.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just puts those final pieces. And it's heartbreaking because there's still moments where Olivia is nice.
Yeah.
And it's also interesting because this is the only episode, it doesn't show the present day at all. Mm. It's just all flashback. Yeah. You end on the cliffhanger of Luke getting grabbed.
Yep.
Yeah. And
this Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Then also, we've got to talk about that final scene where she gets the kids. She gets Nell and Luke and poor Abigail.
Who we learn is real.
Who we learn is real.
In the most heartbreaking.
It's very good. It's very bad. It's good television.
Has she been real the whole time?
Yes.
Yeah.
But as in, I wonder though, when Luke is hanging out with her, maybe she's real sometimes and maybe she's not.
I got the sense that she was real.
Yeah, she was real the whole time.
Yeah.
Because she even says, I sneak out all the time.
Yeah.
Because the first time he sees her, he's not in the house, he's out in the woods.
It's a nice reversal for the family who just thinks he's a kid with an imaginary friend. It's a reversal for us, the audience, who have seen ghosts literally in every corner of every fucking frame.
Yeah.
To go, of course she's not real. Yeah.
And you've seen her in the house when Nell goes back and you see her like all over the place. It's like, oh, well, of course she's not a real.
Yeah.
She's an imaginary friend. And then you get enough pieces of information that you could solve it on your own. But it's not until Olivia walks in and is like, wait, who's that?
Right.
It's like, I told you, it's Abigail. And she's like, Mum and Dad don't want me going out. And you're like, oh, it's the Dudley's girl.
Yeah.
And so you get that revelation. You're like, okay. And then it's like, oh, I've seen her as a ghost in the house. Oh,
yes. No. Yeah. As well as we know grown up Nell and Luke exist or existed.
Yep.
So, yeah, you can quickly see where it's heading for.
It's horrible.
It's so horrific.
So heartbreaking.
And, like, even obviously entering the Red Room for the first time and just how easily that door opens. Mm-hmm. And it's really bad.
And then it's not decked out as anything.
Yeah.
It's just mold.
It's yuck.
Awful. It's where all the black mold's coming from.
It's just like a cancer of the house, really.
Yeah. Mm. It's awful.
It's the stomach of the house.
And then when Hugh realizes, like, imagine having that realization, waking up and going, she's going to kill the kids.
Mm. It's that great little throwaway bit where he's doing something else.
Well, I think Shirley comes to him and says, I just saw Mum. And he's like, what do you mean? And then he sees the rat poison and he just fucking freaks out.
Yeah, it's like even following her story of like them having a conversation, she needs a break from the house and everything.
She
like
agrees.
That.
She's like, I do.
She agrees. She's like nothing but agreeable. And then we're going, okay, maybe this is gonna I know it's not gonna work out well, but she never even like all that was false. She just goes to the hotel room, that's it.
The same hotel room that Nell goes to when she lies. Again, it's that great parallel. Nell lies to her dad and says, I'm at home, when she's not.
Mm.
And Olivia lies to Hugh. And there's almost this bit where it's like there's a test there. In my brain, it's like when she rings him from the hotel room, if he answers the phone and everything seems fine, she leaves and goes to her sister's.
Yep.
But I think I've just got to check one last time. And there's five children.
Yeah.
And there's lots going on and he's under the pump and there's heaps happening and the kids are just being kids. But she's like, oh, he can't protect them.
Yeah.
Only I can. I've got to come back.
Yeah. And then I also wanted to talk about this episode as the penultimate episode in a series. So typically for a serialized TV show, the second to last episode is when the worst shit happens. This is your second act turn, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know you're in for a bad time if it's a 10-episode series and it's episode 9.
Yeah.
And like it's interesting for a series like this because it's so horrific. Every episode has terrible bits. It's not it's not a standard TV show. It's a horror TV show. So it's interesting that the horrible thing obviously needs to be that missing piece of what we've had. And it truly is horrible because it is like the thing that infects them for the rest of their lives. Like it is the wound that we talked about that gets built upon and built upon and made worse and worse and worse. So like seeing it play out for me was just brutal. Like there was like, it was just, I hate it. Like it was great television, wonderfully acted, all that sort of stuff. But like I did find myself wanting to look away, even though it wasn't the scariest by a long way. But just because you know, I think the inevitability of it really is what, like, it's in the past. It's already happened. We know it's happened.
It was one of the saddest.
Yeah.
This episode is a bullet fired from a gun 10 episodes ago.
Right.
And it hits. And you know, and you've seen it coming for 10, but 8 or 9 episodes. And you're just like, oh no.
Yeah. Her acting in just before she jumps off the stairs is fucking huge.
Yeah.
Like, that's just enormous from her. And the girl playing Poppy too is really good because there's times in it where she's a little bit over the top with her like 1920s slang and stuff.
Yeah.
But when she goes a bit quiet and threatening, it's fucked. And like, I'm not sure who did the music, but the music mixed with the performance when she's just saying, I just want to wake up. I just want to wake up. And then
we've not spoken about the music. The theme, that recurring piano theme that
breaks your heart
throughout the whole show is so fucking good.
Yeah.
So fucking good. I don't have the composer's name in front of me. I think I wrote in my notes on episode 1 when we didn't mention it then. But like, particularly it's that theme that's used anytime Nell is around or Olivia's around, that kind of really haunting, soft little piano thing.
Mm.
It's fucking beautiful.
Yeah. Well, we've got one episode to go, but we'll get to that next week. That is all the scary talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
I've been Tom.
If you scary listeners would like to email us or just say hi, you can do so at 3scaredboys@gmail.com or you can find us on Twitter at scaredyboys or individually, I'm at Midday Pyjamas.
I'm at Carney from 55.
I'm at Awkward Trade.
Stay scared, everyone.